You're listening to The Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
My friends are on the Progressive guest line tonight. Before I get there, and yeah, I have my pal here, Mike D, the live studio audience. No, not Mike D from the Beastie Boys, the other Mike D. My other buddy is running Rock and Roll Control in Houston. Want to tell you about my buddies from Willie's Super Brew. Willie's Super Brew is a hard seltzer blended with real fruit. It is gluten-free, low in carbs and calories. It is brewed with thousands of pounds of real fruits and spices, meaning it is bursting with real flavor. It's about drinking real, a drink made from real ingredients by real people with real impact, all started by a goat farmer named Willie, a surfer named Nico on a Cape Cod beach, and the rest is history. Check them out at superbrew.com. That is superbrew.com or at Drink Super Brew. I'm very excited. I very rarely get excited for our Progressive guest line, but I am because he's one of the best in the business. I met him at Boston College recently. Legendary broadcaster, national commentator at Fox Sports. Tim Brando's on the line. Hey, Tim, welcome to the Diehards. Anthony Pepe in Boston. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Anthony. It's good to be with you. A little pep in my step now as we get close to dinner time here at the Chateau. Good to be with you.
I see what you did there. Thank you. We're going to use that as a promo. Hey, Tim, how long have you been doing this?
Oh, my God. Since birth, maybe?
I mean, I can remember as a kid watching you, and I'm old. I'm not going to lie. I'm 50 years old. I remember, like, my whole life, I've watched Tim Brando cover sports.
Yeah.
And, man, this is a privilege for me. I love it. Do you still love it?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, without a doubt. That's why I'm still doing it and love doing it. I don't work around the calendar the way I used to because I don't have to, don't need to, and really don't want to. I enjoy all sports. I do. But I only want to work at what I'm really passionate at this stage of my career. And I'm incredibly passionate about both college football and college basketball. And if there's some other things that get my emotions going, and golf sort of does that, I get into that a little bit. Wish I could have done more earlier in my career, but it's a little bit of a tougher crack in terms of broadcasters getting to call golf. It's pretty much left to teachers and former players and maybe even golf architects over broadcasters. But, I'll watch the playoffs in the NBA. I'll watch I'm loving watching the USFL. I am. And not just because it's on Fox, but because I did the USFL in 1985 when Herschel Walker broke the pro football rushing record. I was 29 years old and cutting my teeth at ESPN at that time. And so I have great memories about all those sports. College baseball. I love to watch the College World Series. I did seven of them in my 9 years at ESPN, and I loved every second of it. I'll watch a little bit of MLB, not necessarily because I love MLB, but I'm kind of getting romantic about it in my 60s because I got so many young broadcasters that I've mentored, and they're now doing those games, and I want to see how they're doing. You know, I want to watch and see how the younger broadcasters are doing, and the game itself has changed in ways that I don't like, but I still am engaged to watch it. But yeah, I love everything about the business of live sports television. And if they ever call me out of the bullpen to do some NFL games, which Fox has done, and before that CBS did as well, I'll do that too. So yeah, I love it. And at 66, I still feel like I've got a lot of wood to chop, and that my fastball is still in the 90s and is good to go. And after the summer's done and college football is about to kick off, I'll be revved up. And that's the thing. I think being a granddad, I'm about to go on vacation this weekend. And I'll
awesome.
Have four grandchildren on Orange Beach right on the Florida-Bama line.
Yep.
And I'll be chasing four grandkids between the ages of 14 months and 5 years old. So
that's awesome.
You know, that's what I do. In my spring and summer, I chase golf balls and grandkids, and run up to Home Depot to get my wife some dirt for her garden. You know, that's what I'm doing, and it gets my battery charged. You know, before college football starts in the fall.
All right, Tim, I have to say this, by the way. I own an event marketing company called Food Truck Festivals America. We put on food truck and craft beer festivals all across the country. We do one in Panama City Beach right there in the Panhandle, and we're actually talking to the Gulf Shores there in Alabama to do one. So if we do one, I want you to be my grand marshal. I want you to come out and be the guy that everyone wants to hang out, because you will love the food trucks and the craft beer.
Oh, I would love that. You need to park that baby right in front of the Pink Pony Pub in Gulf Shores. That's a nice little spot. Yeah.
We'll do that. Hey, Tim, I want to get back to what you were talking about, again, doing multiple sports. And I have a former coworker and a good friend of mine, and I'm sure yours as well, the great Sean McDonough, who calls all these sports. He's calling hockey. He can call basketball. How tough is it in transition to call all these sports? Because you guys are very good at what you do. You're great at calling college basketball. How challenging is it to switch gears and call another sport? It must be very difficult.
Well, you know, I think the great ones handle it without much of a problem. And for a number of years, you know, in the mid-90s, you mentioned you're about 50 years old. So you're over 40. And into your 40s, I've sort of been one of those guys, along with Sean, that would be maybe the soundtrack of your life in sports.
You're right.
You know, you've been hearing us for years. There was a time, if you lived in Atlanta, Georgia, in the 90s, you were watching me do the Atlanta Hawks, the Atlanta Braves, the NBA playoffs, and SEC football and ACC basketball on Raycom all at the same time.
Crazy.
I was working for four different entities. Doing all of those sports. I did some anthology series when I was at ESPN in my early days, and that's where I cut my teeth on doing obscure sports. You know, things like, judo and taekwondo and field hockey, lacrosse, and all the different sports that you don't think about that would be Olympic sports. Team handball. You have to learn the glossary of all these different sports, and that's how you get through it. Now, at the major level, I will tell you, Sean, who's from my generation, is about to, I think Sean's about to crack 60. He's right there. I think he's about 5 or 6 years younger than me. He loves it, and he wanted to do hockey. He asked, he told ESPN, he said, I want to do this. I'd like to be our voice for the NHL. And I think it was just a challenge for him to step into that and be comfortable at it, to surprise people, because Sean's been a number one guy in baseball and a number one guy in football. And I think he felt like, you know, I did this when I was young and I was really good at it. I liked it, but no one thinks I've done hockey. So I want to do that. And I think there's a part of us, all of us that have been in this business for, you know, 5 decades or more, and I started at the national level in 1985, but I was doing regional play-by-play as early as 1982, 83. So I'm at 40 years and 5 decades of this. I think the challenge is to prove to people that, oh, my God, how's he going to do? I don't know if he knows if he might lay an egg here. And then when you don't and you go in, and it's seamless, and it's as if you've been doing it for 30 years, that just makes you feel good. That's like hitting a home run on the sweet spot of the bat. You know, it's like hitting a drive just the way you want to hit it at the end of a lousy day of golf, but there's that one drive that's so good that it makes you come back. I think that's what broadcasters feel when they're in a position to prove to people, hey, I can do this. I know I felt that way when I did golf. I did a couple of events for CBS when Nance and Bill McAfee weren't available, and I did Masters.com, and I did the U.S. Open digitally, and I had a lot of people say to me, gosh, I didn't know you could do that. You kind of dialed it back. And that's what you have to do when you're doing a sport that requires that. You know, you have to have the pace of play in your voice, and you also have to know the glossary. You have to know what not to say and what to say. By example, if you're doing a sport, whether it's hockey, soccer, or I'll use team handball, okay? All three of those sports have people in a goal. There's a person in a goal in all of the sports. But is that person called a goalkeeper, goaltender, or goalie? Now, depending on what sport we're talking about, It could be any one of those two or three things. But if you use the wrong terminology, you've been outed. Okay? People know you don't know. Okay? And you gotta know which one to go with. And those are the challenges I think that a lot of people overlook, but broadcasters don't.
We are hanging out with national sports commentator for Fox Sports, the legend Tim Brando, here on the Sports Map Radio Network with the diehards on the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive Insurance makes bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. Hey, man, I want to switch gears to college basketball. I know it's near and dear to your heart. And speaking of near and dear to your heart, what is the latest and greatest in the health status of the great Dickie V? I know you're friends with him. I know you talk to him. He's going to be honored with the Jimmy V Award at the next ESPYs. What's going on with Dickie V?
Well, he's doing a lot better. You know, he was really frustrated for a long time because he couldn't talk. And, you know, I actually had nodules on my, a couple of nodules on my voice box about 15 years ago. I think everybody that talks for a living, or Siegs, a lot of actors, number of people on Broadway have gone through it.
It's your worst nightmare.
Yeah, I never had to have any surgery done as Dick did, but I was using a potion that an actor told me about, a Broadway actor told me about, that I needed to do to get through the season that year. It was back in around 2005. But Dick had been at it for so long, and he does so much public speaking that people don't see, that he was really doing a lot of damage to his voice. And when you get those nodules and they become they become larger than just a nodule, and then the nodules grow together, then you're in real trouble. And so he had to have the surgery. And then on top of that, he was in the middle of fighting cancer and going through a difficult time with chemotherapy and the nodules. And he just got cleared to talk about 2 weeks before the gala. I wasn't able to go this year. I am going to go next year. But I talked to him a little over a week ago about not being able to make it. And I voiced my concern for him. He let me know that he was doing a lot better, that the cancer is in remission. He's cancer-free at this stage. So he's really looking forward to the start of the fall. I think, though, he's going to have to learn for the first time in maybe in his own life with his free time, that speaking in and of itself is going to have to be done in moderation, which is not something he was accustomed to. He would never say no to anybody. If somebody said, "Hey, Dick, we'd love you to come speak here and here," and it would be, it's for a good cause. Dick would always say yes to everything. So I think he's going to have to learn to dial it down just a little bit in the off season so he can keep, you know, a good enough voice to get through the winter season. And listen, all of our voices, once we are through the college basketball season, we go into tournaments and we're doing as many as three or four games in a day during a tournament. We all have to, watch our instruments, to make sure that they're in good shape. And he's just going to have to do a better job of that. But I'm glad you asked me about him because he's a wonderful guy. And let me tell you, I think in addition to getting the Jimmy V, which he certainly earned for all he's done for the V Foundation, the gala just raised, I think, $11 million this past week, which his hopes were $7 million. So he's, I think this is a guy that is a national treasure that we're going to have to look at as being one of the all-time philanthropists in the history of sports broadcasting. I don't know that anybody's done more or raised more for any one great cause any more so than Dick has.
Timmy B, it's been a privilege and honor of mine to have you on the show. I'm sure you don't remember, but I was the marketing director for Sporting News Radio here in Boston when you were on the network. Huge fan of yours. Have followed you forever. We're not going to get into that program and that network, but my point is I'm a huge fan. I love having you on tonight. I love watching you and have watched you over the years. Huge respect for you, and thank you so much. Appreciate it. I would love to talk to you later on down the line. Thank you.
Please do, anytime.
All right, there he is, the great national commentator at Fox Sports, the legend, Tim Brando, on the Progressive Guest Line with the diehards.